Welcome back. The trimming of our lamps. Those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Wow. That leads me to ask this question, sir. What does this trimming of the lamp, what does it mean?
I want you to note, this mystery of redemption is very interesting, as deep as it is. Mm. It's very, very interesting. Catch the story, so that from verse 1.
Okay, Matthew chapter 25 from verse 1. Then shall the kingdom...
Now, watch it. Then means future.
Okay.
Future. Go ahead.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins.
It will only be likened. They are not only 10. They are only likened.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
What is a lamp? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Amen and amen.
That is revelation. Mm. The word of God.
Hallelujah.
They were expecting the coming of the Lord. Mm. They were expecting the coming of the Lord. So they took their lamps
and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
They were going forth to meet the Lord. That gives a picture of how people were expectant of the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Yes. Mm.
And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Mm-hmm. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
They did not take any oil. Mm. That is foolishness. Yes.
But
because there's no oil, the lamp will not show forth. Mm.
Uh-huh. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
Yes.
While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Mm-hmm. And at midnight, there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Mm. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
This alone can take the whole of the airtime allotted for this. It's very interesting, because if we are going to get this picture correctly, then we must do justice to this.
Amen.
First and foremost, they were virgins. Mm. That means these were people that desired to serve the Lord.
Mm. Amen.
But there are two groups of these
wonderful
people. One are those who are truly prepared according to the due order.
Mm. Amen.
You see, the Bible says, for instance, except you are born again,
yes, sir,
you cannot see the kingdom. So everybody will say, I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm born again, I'm born again. Mm-hmm. But verse 5 of that John chapter 3 says, except there's a process. Not just born again. To be born again, you must go through the spirit
and water.
And water. Hmm. So if you submit yourself to the first stage and believe that you are born again, and you did not proceed to the second stage, you are foolish. Hmm. You see, that is why Apostle Paul said, give diligence to make your calling and election. Apostle Peter, sorry.
Yes, sir.
To make your calling and election sure. Mm. Now, remember that it is an end time event. Mm. And Christ himself was giving it in a parable of what will happen. Now, we're not taking it line by line. It's just the picture it portrays that you should look at it. Mm. Now, why did he say in verse 6, he says, at midnight.
And at midnight.
He said they all went to sleep.
Yes, sir.
Yes. What is this sleeping condition? Mm. It is the history of the church.
Amen and amen.
By the history of the church, by the time we come to the third seal, in Revelation chapter 6,
Yes, sir.
Let's read it.
Revelations chapter 6, verse 5.
Yes.
And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see.
What did he see?
And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand.
Yes.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou art not the oil and wine.
The condition of the church of Jesus Christ. That's what Christ is telling us by that parable.
Amen.
It will get to a stage where because the Lord's coming tarries, a condition will come, but this condition is orchestrated by Satan himself, where everybody will now
sleep.
Sleep here is, you know, no more gospel, no more Christian activity, no more. Like Peter will say, let's go and fish and since the man don't die, go now. You know, and then that was the condition where the church got to that dark ages, where the word of God was taken away. But remember, that is why where I got excited as we were reading, as it struck me, that Jesus Christ himself said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies,
it abides alone.
It abides alone.
Amen.
He's talking about the law of life. You see, Jesus Christ is that corn of wheat, falls to the ground, he must die. That is why God allowed him to die, is to fulfill a due order, to fulfill a law of life.
Amen.
The old one, there has to be some sacrifice for the new life to come. There is a life inside of you that before it comes out, you have to die.
Amen.
And that is the process of transformation.
Hallelujah.
That is the process, you know, when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is coming into this earthen vessel. It's a life.
Amen.
It's there. But the other life that was there, the old life, will have to die. And when he dies, then that other life that came in, then manifests. Comes of him. Man be in Christ is now a new creature. But the old has to die before the new has to come up.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Why we say you are not born again if your old nature was not affected. But giving your life to Christ is giving your life to Christ to transform you.
Amen.
Be that transformed by the renewing of your mind.
That's right.
That's what Apostle Paul was teaching. Now, the same thing also now. The church, as it is, was inaugurated with just 120 in the upper room.
That's right.
And but the revival went on. But then, as time went on, there were virgins. So here they are. One ensured that they had enough revelation, enough oil. You see, they had enough spirit of revelation.
Enough spirit of revelation.
They had enough spirit of revelation. Whereas the other ones only had anointing. I'm breaking it down.
Amen.
But they were all faithfully serving God. But only the anointing will not do. You need revelation to go with that anointing.
Amen and amen.
So, here they are laying there, you know, under the ground. As they lay under the ground there, at midnight, the darkest hour of Christianity, that is under the third seal of Revelation chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
From verse 5. That is it. That I, if you listen to any of my teachings before, you will understand, you know, about the seals.
Amen.
Very deep.
Yes, sir.
You notice theologians don't go that side. You will notice the sarcastic way Abel Damina was referring to John, through whom we have the book of Revelation. You see the way he was referring to say that Jewish man.
Yes. Yeah. You know, well, we're going to play the video.
Well, you know, yes, it's sir. Because the book of Revelation is not for all.
Amen.
We don't expect them to even go near there, you know, because sometimes you go there, you mess up yourself in trying to understand it. So the dark ages, which is symbolized by the black horse.
That's right.
Now, this church will get to that estate when Matthew 13:33 is fulfilled. Read it, please.
Matthew 13:33.
Yes.
Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened.
That is the works of grace. Everything about the apostolic doctrine, they were summarized under, you know, a justification, sanctification,
Holy Ghost
and baptism
doctrine.
Of the Holy Ghost doctrines. They took it and messed it up. And what did it produce? The whole thing
was leavened.
Leavened.
Corrupted.
Corrupted. That is the church of Jesus Christ. They were in that estate as depicted by the black horse rider. And it was in that, and then history tells us that for about 1,000 years, you know, the gospel light was quenched under the Roman Catholicism, merged with the state power authority behind them. They could enforce that darkness. It's in history. I'm not speaking against your church. I'm referring to history.
That's right.
It is at that state, but remember that nothing takes God by surprise. It is all working God's agenda. He allowed it to fulfill the law of life. While Satan thinks it's killing you, he doesn't know that it's destroying this body for the life to come out. And then it was in that estate that Apostle Paul then said that the rapture will begin. I mean, this is how the coming of the Lord will be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
And then the order. If read it from verse 13, just to get the picture for those who may be following us for the first time.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13.
Yes.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again,
yes,
even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord,
yes,
that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, yes, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout,
okay,
with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
So what is the first stage for the rapture?
The shout.
The shout. When you say shout there, it's a message.
Amen and amen.
It is that shout that Christ was referring to in verse 6 of Matthew 25 as the midnight cry. Because there was a response.
Okay.
At midnight.
And at midnight, Matthew 25:6.
Yes.
There was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.
Now, what was the response?
Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
And that is, you know, that is why, before I go there, that is what the Lord Jesus again was letting us know in that Mark chapter 4. You see, there's no way you talk about the end time message, the picture you get, without referring to this parable of the growing seed.
Amen and
it
amen.
Is actually the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The history of his church.
That's right.
In advance, he told it in that parable of the growing seed from verse 26.
Okay, Mark 4 from verse 26.
Yes.
And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth...
So how? You just go, the farmer goes to plant his seed. The farmer doesn't know what happens. All he sees is that the seed is growing again. But there is a life. There is a life.
Hallelujah.
That is in that seed.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
That is the mystery of the growing seed. You plant it there, just water it, just leave it there. The old nature will rotten and die, and that life will begin to come up again.
Amen.
So is the church of Jesus Christ. It was planted at Pentecost. Mm. It died at Nicaea, AD 325. Mm. And remained in that darkness until 15th century.
Yes, sir.
Till the 15th century. Almost a thousand years in darkness. Mm. But there is a seed that was there. But this seed that was there, the people that had that seed was two types of seeds that were there under the earth.
Mm.
So that you know the foolish and the wise virgins. Mm. Now, there is a message that goes forth when it is time. This message is a reviver.
Amen.
That is what produces the rain.
Mm.
The rain falls and that seed is nourished, ready for the life to come. And remember that you can plant it, the earth is still hard.
Mm.
So after it is cooked, rotting, ready to come out, the earth has to be softened for it to begin to find its way out. And so, what is the first, remember, what are the things that were destroyed? The three measures of meal. Three measures of meal were justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Certainly.
Christ, in verse 33 of Matthew 13, says measures of meal.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And here, we are seeing here, is using the stages of the growth of the corn.
That's right.
So, what is the first thing that comes out?
Verse 28 of Mark 4.
To describe the same three seeds.
For the earth bringeth forth
measures of meal.
For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself.
What is the first thing that comes out?
First, the blade.
Now the shout, I say it's a revival. That is that revival that we see in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 6.
Mm. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny.
That's what they were doing.
And three measures of barley for a penny.
Mm-hmm.
And see, thou art not the oil.
So
the wine.
There's going to be a revival.
Amen.
That will be unstoppable. That's why I say hot not.
Amen and amen.
You can't touch it.
Amen.
And that revival started that produced that blade is what took place under the ministry of Martin Luther that came out from that woman. That came out from the dark ages.
Mm.
That is the shout that produced them. But now, all the virgins responded. They all left Catholicism. The two groups of people, they all left Catholicism with the doctrine of justification.
Amen.
But that is not the first work of grace.
Mm.
You will need more oil, enough oil, revelation, to proceed. What is the next stage?
Then the year.
Now, I want you to note, oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
For every stage of the restoration, it produced these two groups of people.
The foolish and the wise.
The foolish and the wise.
Mm.
Oh, I'm saying something.
Yes, sir, you are.
It produced, because they were all revival.
Mm.
Now, you will discover that not all,
yes, sir,
moved to the next stage of sanctification.
That's true, sir. History proves it.
Then, that is, and sanctification that was destroyed by that woman was being restored.
Mm.
Now, this is where we come to the trimming of the lambs.
Hallelujah.
This is where we come at the trimming of the lambs. Now, it is revelation.
Mm.
Some Lutherans refuse to move into the Wesleyan revival.
Yes, sir. History proves it, isn't it?
History is, I'm talking about history.
Yes, sir.
So, those who did not live, they were foolish.
Mm.
So they remain there, and Christ is moving on.
Mm.
They are finished. When it was time for the third work of grace to be restored, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the restoration of the gifts, there were Wesleyans, very holy brethren, that saw that as holy rollers, that saw that as messing up holy. You should be, they had their own pattern of holiness and didn't move. But some moved. Those who moved are the wise virgins.
Amen.
And before you know what, those who refused to go remained foolish.
Foolish.
And they remained there. While the church restoration was going on.
Amen and amen.
So every age had her own foolish virgins.
Every age had both the wise and the foolish
virgins. The two groups of virgins. Then it was time for the restoration of the gifts. The wastelands refused to move.
Mm.
And when the real proper trimming of the lambs came now after Pentecost, that is where the real proper trimming of the lambs came.
Mm.
The reason was because a lot of other doctrines, apart from justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, a lot of other apostolic doctrines that were dropped, also we needed to trim them.
Trim. Hallelujah.
Trim now is align your revelation for the light to shine properly.
Mm.
Don't overblow it. Don't underblow it.
Amen.
You know, trim it so that it gives the light clearer and clearer. Now, those of you who are born in this electricity age, you may not understand those of us who are old and we had to use a lamp.
Mm.
You know, there is a way that, you know, this lamp that Chinese people produce for us, kerosene lamp, you know, it has a glass you put in there with a wool, a wig, okay. And then, and how do you know it? You only know electric bulb. And then you put it there. Now, there is a way that if it is too low, it has an adjuster.
Mm.
When you take it too low, the light becomes very dim, doesn't shine. Now, in the course of, you have to keep adjusting. If you take it too high, it produces smoke.
That's true.
And then it will kill the glass. Yes. And then you have to clean it. You are saying yes. you read it somewhere. And then, or maybe your mother told you. And so, now there is a way you adjust it, even the smoke will not be seen.
Mm.
And then become very bright.
Trimming the lamp.
You know, trimming the lamp. That is the word of God.
Amen.
There is a way you trim it, you know, like Abel Damina is of adjusting it. So it creating smoke.
Amen.
His likes, you know, is of adjusting it. Mm. And then he knows something is wrong. He's trying to correct a lot of mistakes he has made before. He suddenly realized that a lot of these things they were preaching, prosperity and all this, that the gospel was more than that. And that he could see that he wasn't producing life, was not producing money, enriching himself. The members are actually not getting enriched.
Mm.
Because the doctrine of prosperity as preached by the Pentecostals actually enrich the preachers,
not the members. Mm.
And that is why you will see a man that is not working.
Mm.
He does nothing other than preaching the gospel.
Mm.
We come and tell you now he owns private jets.
Hey.
Now he owns this. He owns fuel station. He has businesses. Where did he get the money to do those businesses? If he got it through the normal conventional way, fine. But most of them that boast of the car they ride, the designer this, the this and that, the this and that, you know, it is from the offerings of the people and the tithe of the people. And that has become the attraction of ministers going into the ministry.
Hmm.
Tithes and offerings.
Hmm.
And they have to preach to make it look as if you give them, if you bring to the ministry, they will be blessed.
Hmm.
They don't teach you to give one another, to give to the needy.
Mm.
They teach you to give to them.
Give to the work of God.
So, the prosperity that is promised in the Bible is not the prosperity that these preachers of nowadays preach.
Mm.
They preach to enrich themselves. That is why motivational speakers have invaded the pulpit as pastors. But whatever it is, trimming the lamb, you know, is what I'm talking about.
Amen and
amen. And then you discover that after Pentecost, there were a lot of errors, even among the Pentecostals, that will tell you that speaking in tongue is evidence of the Holy Ghost. So you need to trim the revelation to understand that anointing of the Holy Ghost is different from the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
You need to trim the revelation to know that speaking in tongue or operating any spiritual gift is not the evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. But at the same time, if you have the Holy Ghost, you will be anointed and you will operate the gift. So
there is
a need for us to trim the lamp.
Hallelujah.
And know that. And then when you begin to fear that you can lose your salvation, as the wastelands teach and the holiness revival people teach, you need to trim the lamp to see that once you are saved, forever eternally are saved. And then to trim your lamp to know when is actually a believer saved. You see, and then you will soon get to know that it's not every believer that is saved. Because Satan also believes there is one God, but he's not saved.
Satan the believer.
There is a process. Satan the believer, yes. Satan believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
So it's more than, you know, and confessing it. What do you mean by confessing it? Confessing that Jesus is the Lord, you'll be saved. Confession there goes beyond the mouth. Confession includes the life that you live.
Hallelujah.
So that is what the trimming of the lamp is. They were baptizing Father, Son, Holy Ghost. These are some of the things after the restoration of the gifts that needs to be trimmed. So that you will come back to how the seed was originally.
Amen and amen.
How the apostolic doctrine was.
Amen.
The apostolic teachings. And you will soon jam Apostle Paul saying, if anyone preaches any other thing contrary, let him be accursed. So that you begin to say, what did they teach concerning women ministry? Was any woman ordained? And then you adjust that. Baptism, in which name was it done? You correct your water baptism. And then, how does the body of Christ function, the fivefold ministry? And the Godhead, is it a triune God? Is it three persons? And then when you trim it, you will notice that you will see that it is three offices, not three persons, of one God. And you will soon discover even the order of the coming of the Lord. You see, we are talking about the shout.
Amen.
You know, and then you look at the history of the church ages and many more like that. So that you will know, before you know what, you will soon see like many people who were selling
anointing wares,
you know, many of them, in trimming their lamb, they will discover that freely we receive, freely we
receive. Hallelujah.
And then they throw all that away, and then they will soon discover what is the true liberty of the spirit. So this is what the trimming of the lamb is. That's why we sing this song. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this age. You say, we have caught the revelation.
The revelation.
Then we say, by the last prophet's message, and that message is the same message of the shout.
Hallelujah.
That started from Luther.
Amen.
He said,
and
we know who we are. And we know what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. For the original life.
Amen.
Then he said, our eyes of understanding.
He has opened up.
God has opened up at last.
Amen.
Through Jubilee. Jubilee is freedom. You are no more caged by denominational things. You know, has sounded. He said, and we have responded. To respond is come out of her, my people. That's the effect of the trimming of the lamb. Your ways become, you know, clearer. Understanding become clearer. And then you can see why that song comes, open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free.
Wow.
Jubilee.
Amen.
That is what trimming of the lamb
Wow, is thank about. You, sir. You've laid so much importance on this trimming of our lamb.
Oh, it's important, for that is the response to the shout.
That is the response to the shout. Trimming
and
the
that
lamb.
Is why I preach a message. I said the rapture has started.
Amen.
Because if you don't trim your lamps, then where are you?
Wow. So if I'm to now ask you, sir, what are the effects of not trimming the lamp?
You become foolish.
Okay.
And saw what happened to the foolish virgins. They could not meet the bridegroom.
Wow.
So they don't go in the rapture. That is the truth.
So
because if you notice in Proverbs chapter 21.
Proverbs 21.
Yes, verse 16. I love that scripture there.
The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding.
What will happen?
Shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Hey, there's a congregation of the dead.
There's a congregation of the dead. When you refuse for that light, what happens? You remain there. Dead.
This is the estate of the foolish virgins.
And that is the estate of the foolish virgins. And that is the estate. The foolish virgins are there in the denominations, locked up there.
Congregation of the Dead.
Yes.
Wow, thank you so much, sir. So in a nutshell, you
I prove any doctrines that you should know that pertain to your salvation, and you turn it down, not by a superior revelation from the scripture, but because this is how your church teach it, you are foolish. You are in the congregation of the dead and you don't know it. And you remain dead. It's no life. That's the truth.
Amen. In a nutshell, no rapture, no salvation.
Of course. The reward. And remember, you see the foolish and the wise. You see, we had an interview with a preacher who was the regional pastor of their denomination somewhere in Port Harcourt or so. And then he came to visit us recently, and I wanted to know more about their setting. And he said he listened to us on the television. And he saw. He said, even water baptism he has not. But the first thing that struck him, because if you don't catch the evil in the denominational system, you won't know how to escape for your life. He confessed that these denominational people is just there, is their business, it's a business setup. Business setup. He was talking about one system that is common to all of them. They have a way of putting fear in you to make you look that if you leave the church, you will die. And anybody that preaches such things creates that kind of impression that if you leave the church, their church, you will die. Just know that you are in a cult. You are not in a church. If you leave Pride Assembly Church, you will die. You'll be frustrated. If I ever tell you that, I am a witch. Salvation is not in any church.
Amen.
Salvation is in Christ.
Amen.
Salvation is not in any ministry.
Amen.
Salvation is in Christ. So this man said, he heard the message. He discovered that even correct water baptism, that's not, he said they keep using him. One of the things they do, you are watching me now, you are a pastor in the denomination, is that not true? They will use you when you are very, very vibrant, they know you have a true gift. They will never allow you to stay in any big congregation. Once you go, you open a branch, you build it, all the structures are down, you have everything, and the church is coming up, they will post you away immediately to go and start somewhere else. And it's business they do. Bring this percentage to headquarters in Lagos. This percentage to the state. This percentage for the church. And then you take this percentage. But if the money is much, the percentage reduces. You don't see that it's nothing but a franchise and nothing more than that. And the people believe they are serving God. It's for me to realize that means you really have a grace. That's why they are using you like that.
Wow.
Then you attempt to leave, see how they will fight you. To show you that they are an occultic church, they will take your name to Babalawo, to voodoo, to
witch doctors.
Or they themselves, they are already witches, so they will do witch, they begin to witch you. No, sorcerer, no, witch. Begin to take your name and then lay curse on you. They're waiting to hear the bad news that will follow you. But let me just assure you, if it is a shout you had,
hallelujah,
if it is a revelation you saw,
amen and amen,
and you left, let my people go.
Amen.
My name is Moses.
Amen.
Moses, go to Pharaoh and let my people go.
Amen.
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 And you had that and you decided to follow Moses out. Don't worry, the wilderness journey may be long, but we'll get to the promised land.
Amen.
Nothing. If Pharaoh comes after you, he will die.
That's right. That's right.
It's just the principle. It's just there. So don't be afraid.
Amen.
That is why this trimming of the lamb is so important. If you refuse to heed this voice, you are dead. God bless you.
Amen. Okay, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to be asking the pastor how we can trim our lamps. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.